to you from the PSN studios at Chicago's 2112. You're listening to The Bettor's Edge with your host, Scott Sanders.
Hello, world. This is the Bettor's Edge podcast. I'm your host, Scott Sanders, on the Podcast Sports Network. We're recording this on Friday, January 17th, 2020, getting ready for Sunday's NFL Championship game. So we'll spend most of the show talking about the two NFL Championship games for the NFC. The Packers are at the 49ers. Currently, the Niners are 7.5-point favorites with a 45-point total. And the prelude to that game is Sunday afternoon at 3:05 Eastern, the AFC Championship game, where the Chiefs host the Tennessee Titans at Arrowhead. The Chiefs right now are 7-point favorites with a 53-point total. We encourage you to get in touch with the show through the PSN listener hotline. That's area code 833-5000-PSN, 833-500-0776. Again, I'm your host, Scott Sanders. We've got our producer, Mike, and sound engineer, Amber, behind the glass. And Shelby, our Australian voiceover, reads part of the show today. So let's jump right into it. We'll have our, again, preview of these two games. We'll have a couple other basketball bets, some college games in case you're interested in some second screen wagering while you're watching the football games on Sunday. We've got our regular features for the Bettor's Edge podcast. We'll cover this day in sports history. We'll have our trivia contest. We'll do our long shot Lucy pick, and we'll go over some interesting prop bets as well. Each week when we do the Bettor's Edge podcast, we start out with a $1,000 stake, and we'll allocate that across our bets. You know, you'll hear people talk about units, and certainly consistent betting units is an important part of successful sports wagering. But rather than deal with units or something arbitrary like that, we'll just say that each week we start with $1,000 and we go from there. We'll allocate that across some different bets, again, focusing primarily again on these NFL championship games. So let's jump right into it. The first game on Sunday at 3:05 Eastern features the Tennessee Titans off of their impressive win in Baltimore over the Ravens, heading to Kansas City, where they had an equally impressive win, racking up 51 points in their win over the Houston Texans. And you start to sort of look at some of these trends and how they're doing in different games. And, you know, I've gone through all kinds of different stats about, you know, how these two teams fare against the spread and what the season looks like. And, you know, what do the Titans do after having won 4 or 5 out of their last 6 games? Well, they're 5 or 2 against the spread in that situation. Or, you know, off a huge upset win as a double-digit underdog. Oh, they haven't faced that at all. You know, so you go through these stats and you can easily make the case for yourself as to whether or not you see the Titans and the running game of Derrick Henry and the ball control offense that the Titans employ, you know, would that be successful? Or do you see sort of this Mahomes magic and, you know, slinging the ball all over the place in the cold weather of Arrowhead? And you start to look at, you know, what their history has been in some of the playoff games and disappointments in the Andy Reid era. And you go back and forth and you sort of can come up with a bunch of data that supports whatever case you want to believe in. Rather than do that for these two games today, you know, I start to sit here and think about how do you see these games playing out? You know, do you really think that the Titans are going to be successful maintaining time of possession, converting short third downs into first downs so that they keep Mahomes and Kelsey and Tyreek Hill off the field? Do you see the Chiefs defense that's played very well down the stretch being able to contain Derrick Henry? You know, or do you see it being a high scoring shootout and, you know, Mahomes scoring on 4 play drives that last a minute and 22 seconds and, you know, Kelsey and Tyreek Hill open across the middle and, you know, breaking tackles? And you know, do you visualize that type of game or do you visualize the Tennessee ball control game? Well, you know, as it turns out, you know, as I keep playing this game through my mind, I see that no matter what, the Chiefs offense will not be able to be contained by anything less than the top defenses, you know, in NFL history, the 85 Bears, you know, the Ravens with Ray Lewis and their run, you know, short of that, and Tennessee certainly is short of that, I can't see Kansas City being contained to the point where this is going to be a close game and come in under 7 points, the margin of victory. So I'm definitely leaning towards the Chiefs in this game because of their weapons, because of their play style being just too much for Tennessee to handle. When thinking of games of this magnitude, you want to avoid any kind of recency bias, right? But I can't help but go back to last week and thinking about, you know, 10 catches for Travis Kelce, 3 different touchdowns. Sammy Watkins looked healthy, 38 yards a catch. Tyreek Hill and his speed and his ability to pressure the defense, not just when he's catching the ball. You know, he only had 4 targets last week, but he's constantly in the mind of the defensive coordinator worried about the speed that he possesses. Him and Hardeman, those guys can help, you know, to use the cliche, lift the lid on the defense that makes it so Travis Kelce and Sammy Watkins and Damian Williams are open underneath. They make it so Patrick Mahomes can scramble. You know, 7 carries last week, 7.6 yard average, converting key third downs. That type of ability to pressure the defense with 5-6 different weapons on offense is just overpowering. And they'll be overpowering on Sunday, again in this first game at 3:05 Eastern. So I'm definitely favoring the Chiefs in this game with that 7-point line. And then going back to some of that data does back up the ability for, or the inability, I guess, for a team like the Titans coming off road games, 2 in a row, emotional wins, being able to beat the Ravens, putting the ball in Derrick Henry's hands so many times. There isn't data that supports being able to keep that up for a long period of time. So some negative sort of influences on a team that has to be on the road 3 straight games in the playoffs, playing emotional games to get to this championship game today in Kansas City versus a team with the weaponry of the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes at quarterback lead me to a strong lean towards the Chiefs. I feel very confident, probably most confident, about the Chiefs being able to cover the number today in the AFC Championship game. So that takes us to the total, 53 points. If you look at a total of 53 and a 7-point spread, that's obviously a projection of 30 to 23, right? So you break that into its component parts. Do you see Kansas City scoring 30? Absolutely. They put up 51 last week, playing poorly for a quarter, spotting the Texans' 21 first quarter points, but then putting up 28 points in, 4 minutes last week? So you definitely say to yourself, all right, I see 30 for Kansas City. So then the question becomes, again, at a 7-point number, do you see 23 for Tennessee? And that depends a lot on how the game goes, right? If they get out to an early touchdown, they have a special team score, you know, something like what the Texans did last week against the Chiefs, you can see them getting to 23. Or you can see them, with this game being a blowout, picking up some garbage time points. So I don't think it's too much to think that Tennessee can't get 23 points in this game. But rather than sort of that 30 to 23, you know, exactly what the line projects, I can easily see this being 35-18. And that makes the over come in. Do you think Kansas City can score 35 points today? They put up 51 against the Texans, again, basically taking a quarter off. With the chance to get to the Super Bowl, you could see them stepping on the gas also, saying to themselves, no lead safe, let's get that extra touchdown before the half. I could see Kansas City easily with 35, and to hit that 53 number then, you know, you're talking about 18 for Tennessee. You could see that. So I'm liking 53 to hit the over. I don't like it nearly as much as I like Kansas City giving 7, but I'll go with Kansas City and the over for the AFC Championship game. So then if you start to believe in that over and Kansas City, if you start to say, well, the way I see the over hitting is because Kansas City is going to go a long way towards achieving the over on their own, that'll start to lead into some interesting prop bets. And as we get into these late stages of the NFL season, there becomes more and more prop bets available. So we'll get into that in our second segment today. But we're going to go with Kansas City covering the 7 and the Titans and Chiefs combining for more than 53 points. I'm seeing something in the range of 38-18, 38-17, something like that, that leads us to the over at Arrowhead again Sunday at 3:05 Eastern. Now, let's then talk about the nightcap game, 6:40 Eastern. The Packers go back to San Francisco, Santa Clara out there in, about an hour south of San Francisco. The 49ers are 7.5-point favorites and a much lower total for this game, just 45 points. I talked about that recency bias and not wanting to let that influence, you know, your analysis for the Titans-Chiefs game. Well, you know, the fact that Green Bay went out to the West Coast, spent the week in between the Chargers and 49ers game, stayed out there and laid an egg in both games, the Packers and the 49ers played that game. San Francisco dominated. How much do you let that influence your analysis of the NFC Championship game this afternoon? So in that first meeting, the Packers lost 37-8, completely laid an egg. Aaron Rodgers, 20 for 33, 104 yards. So just 5 yards per completion. Their leading rusher had 45 yards. The leading receiver, 43 yards. You know, so it wasn't much of a contest in that game. Garoppolo threw for 253 and two touchdowns. Kittle had six receptions for 129 yards and a touchdown. It was dominated from the get-go by the 49ers, jumping out to a 10-0 first quarter lead, 23-0 at the half, and then coasting to a 37-8 victory. In that game, this 49er defense had five sacks, 12 total tackles for loss in the game, 10 hits on Rodgers. It was a total domination from the defensive perspective for the 49ers, but it was also a long time ago. Aaron Rodgers said that the team spent too much time during the week partying and enjoying the West Coast. This is obviously for a chance to go to the Super Bowl, so the Packers would be much more focused. They play well on grass. The weather is going to be amenable to Aaron Rodgers scrambling, being able to find an extended play completion of some sort. If you sort of visualize, again, the game going the Packers' way. But you also saw last week's game for the 49ers, and you allow that recency bias to creep back in. Like the five sacks and 12 tackles for loss that the 49er defense had against the Packers last week when the Vikings went out to Santa Clara, six sacks, nine tackles for loss for the 49er defense, nine quarterback hits. Obviously, the defense is what propels the 49ers, but there's enough offense to be confident if you visualize the game going the 49ers way to think that Garoppolo, Kittle, and company can put up enough points to cover that 7.5-point spread. I hate the idea of going with both favorites, again, both touchdown favorites in these championship games, but the strength of the 49ers, to me, is much stronger than the strength of the Packers, meaning the game is much more likely to go the 49ers' way, the way they want to play the game, with strong defense, no big plays allowed, making the Packers work for consistent drives down the field, and then the 49ers putting up enough offense, enough third down conversions, enough 12-yard completions, that the 49ers are able to cover that 7.5-point spread. What has me feeling a little less confident in the game is the 49ers receiving core. So they picked up Emmanuel Sanders ostensibly to be a number one receiver, but he only had two catches, two targets last week against the Vikings. Deebo Samuel, three receptions, 42 yards. Now, I know they didn't need to put up a lot of offense against the Vikings, but to me, there isn't a lot of threat that the 49er receiving core puts into a defense, a lot of stress, though, especially like the way the Chiefs do, stressing a defense, making them be concerned about the big play. You know, are you concerned about the big play when you think about the 49ers? You're concerned about Kittle catching a 9-yard pass and rumbling for 40 yards, perhaps, but not necessarily thinking about an 80-yard pass from Garoppolo to Emmanuel Sanders. So that allows the Packers to play a different style defense. A more pressuring defense, not worried about giving up the big play. And is that enough for the Packers to keep it close? I'm going to go back to this idea of visualizing the games and think about, you know, how do you see this playing out and what percent likelihood would you assign to it? I could really, with a strong likelihood, envision a game where the 49ers defense is too much for the Packers to handle, that Rodgers is scrambling all game long, that he takes a couple hits, you know, that his aging body starts to limp, you know, he starts to throw some away and takes a bad hit, that he's not able to work that typical Aaron Rodgers magic. You know, you could see with a high probability that the 49ers defense will be able to put that pressure on Rodgers. You start to think about how the Packers would like to play. Will Aaron Jones be able to run the ball? You know, will they be able to put up 150 yards rushing against the 49ers? That's how they'd like to play. They'd like to play with some crossing patterns and Rodgers throwing the ball to several different receivers. But you can see that happening, not nearly with the, I guess, chance of likelihood that you could see the 49er defensive pressure dominating that part of the game. Then you flip the ball to the other side, you could see Garoppolo with ball control, passing offense, hitting some 15-yard plays. The Packers have been able to put great pressure on the quarterback this season. Last week in Lambeau, for example, the two Smiths each had two sacks. Preston and Za'Darius Smith, two sacks and a tackle for loss each. They're able to get to Russell Wilson. That means they probably should be able to get to Garoppolo. But I could see him maintaining a ball possession offense enough to march the ball down the field, put up enough points for the 49ers to cover that 7.5-point number. The more I talk about it, the more I like buying down that half a point as well. changing the odds a little bit, buy that extra half point, make it a touchdown favorite so that the 7-point number comes in, it's a push, rather than that 7-point number coming in and it being a loss. Something in the range of 24-17. So buy that extra half a point. But I'm going to go with the 49ers. In fact, if I looked at this before looking at the Tennessee-Kansas City game, I think I'd feel more strongly about the 49ers than I do. I just don't like the idea of taking 2 7-point favorites, but that's the way we're going to go here on the Podcast Sports Network. Then that gets us to that 45-point total. That's essentially 27-20 is how that game is being projected. That'd be a 47-point total. 26-19, that doesn't sound right. So let's go 27-20. Do you see that game being 27-20? Can the 49ers put up 27 points? Can the Packers get to 20 in a loss? How does that number make you feel? Well, let's look at sort of the Packer side of the total first. Can Green Bay get to 20 points? Last week, the Vikings only put up 10. The Vikings, to me, have much better weapons offensively outside of the difference between Rodgers and Cousins. The rest of the Viking offense feels more potent to me than the Packers offense. So I think it's quite a reach for the Packers to expect the Packers to get to 20 when just last week the Vikings only got to 10. Dee Ford's back for the 49ers. So I'm not feeling comfortable that the Packers can hold up their end of the bargain. Can the 49ers get to 27? They had 27 last week. The Packers gave up 23 at home. Now that was to Russell Wilson instead of Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know how you feel about the difference between those two quarterbacks, but I'm not overly confident that the 49ers can get to 27. I'm very much not confident that the Packers can get to 20. So both of those numbers feel tough to reach. That would make me inclined to go with the under, but I don't feel too strongly about it. One of these teams is going to have to put up points to win. I can see it coming in right around that score, 27-20, right around the total. So I'm going to lay off that total. So I'm liking Kansas City -7, and I'm liking the over of 53 at Arrowhead in the lid lifter, 3:05 Eastern on Sunday. I really like the 49ers to cover that 7.5, especially if you buy it to 7. But the 45 total feels right where it needs to be for this 6:40 Eastern game. And I'm going to stay away from the total. So that's sort of three of the main bets out of our $1,000 allocation. We'll go $100 each on those. That's $300 of our $1,000. Kansas City to cover 7. The Titans and Chiefs to combine for the over of 53. The 49ers to cover the 7.5 and stay away from that total of 45. Those are the main parts of the bets here on the Podcast Sports Network. We'll get into what some of the prop bets are, because there's some great ones. So I feel much more strongly about the opportunity to make money through the prop bets of these games than the totals and point spreads that we have so far. Before getting into those prop bets, though, let's do this date in sports history and then start our teaser trivia birthday of the day. And we'll keep that within the realm of football since this is championship Sunday that we're getting ready for here on Friday the 17th ahead of the games on the 19th. So this date in sports history, or this coming date, Sunday, hopefully when you're listening to this show, a few quick things jump out. This event in sports history, 1903, a new bicycle race called the Tour de France is announced. That's funny. Announced in 1903 because professional cyclist and drug cheat Lance Armstrong admits to doping in all 7 of his Tour de France victories, also on this date. In 2013. So 110 years later, Lance Armstrong admits to doping in all 7 of his Tour de France victories on the same day on the sports calendar that the Tour de France was founded. 18 years ago today was the Tuck Rule game. With under 2 minutes to play, the Patriots trail the Raiders 13-10 in a driving snowstorm when a Tom Brady fumble is ruled an incomplete pass and the Patriots win 16-13 in overtime. 18 years ago today, the Tuck Rule game. Ernie Banks was elected to the Hall of Fame on this date in 1977, and 5 years before Mr. Cub was inducted, Sandy Koufax, Yogi Berra, and Early Wynn were elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame, 1972 on this date in sports history. And then finally, what would that be, 46 years ago today, Notre Dame beats UCLA 71-70 in South Bend, Indiana to end UCLA's NCAA record 88-game basketball win streak. This day in sports history, January 19th, in that case, 1974. 46 years ago today. All right, let's do our trivia, get our first commercial break, and then jump into the prop bets, followed by our second screen NCAA basketball picks. I mentioned for this episode's trivia that we will stick with football because it's Championship Sunday, both for the AFC and the NFC. So sticking with football, today happens to be the birthday of our trivia person. Born January 19th, 1969. Born in 1969, a linebacker. Born in Oceanside, California. He is Samoan. He played on the West Coast in the Pac-12. Drafted early. Came out after his junior year. He was, I think at this point, it was still called Prop 48, but he had to sit out his first year academically. But that didn't stop him. Got his grades in order. Ended up having 19 sacks in 1989. So somebody who played on the West Coast, born on this date in 1969, played in the Pac-12, born in Oceanside, California, and had 19 sacks in 1989. We'll leave it there for now. Let's head into break. The Bettor's Edge podcast on the Podcast Sports Network is brought to you by IllinoisWagering.com. Illinois being one of the states that recently, although not that recent, it's taken a year and they still don't have the sports books open. But Illinois, a year ago and beginning of 2019, put into law legalized sports gambling. This year, 2020, New Hampshire became the 14th state to legally allow for sports wagering. So welcome, New Hampshire listeners, to the Podcast Sports Network. But let's go to break and we come back. We'll talk about our prop bets and our second screen bets for the week.
Want to stay informed of the new PSN podcast news and announcements? Be sure to visit podcastsportsnetwork.com and join our free PSN listeners club. The Bettor's Edge is brought to you by Tribute Gardens. Tribute Gardens offers professionally designed do-it-yourself landscape plants, providing intimate spaces for your yard. Each Tribute Garden plan comes with the plan designed by renowned landscape architect Michael Snyder, a concise materials list with everything needed for your Tribute Garden, and step-by-step instructions for your project, all for just $99. These 10-foot by 10-foot gardens are perfect weekend projects. Plans include the perfect gardens for your lifestyle, such as reading books, having a glass of wine, or enjoying a cigar. Or create a tribute to a loved one or beloved pet. There are even plans celebrating specific holidays and to show your affiliation to your favorite team or school. Each Tribute Garden plan is customized for your area of the country. Visit TributeGardens.com to order your plan today.
Okay, kids, Dad's gonna teach you how to dance. First, spread your feet apart. Then, pump your knee, nod your head, shake your hips, and bite your lip ever so slightly. Now, with one hand in the air, point at people with the other hand. I call that the rock star.
Dance like a dad. It's a great way to make a moment with your kids.
Now, make a face like it just smells something bad.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I'm probably okay to have one more drink before I drive home. I'm probably okay. I open the window to stay alert.
Probably okay. I just popped some gum in my mouth.
Step out of the car, please.
I probably made a mistake.
Probably okay isn't okay when it comes to drinking and driving. If you see a warning sign, stop and call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Bettor's Edge with host Scott Sanders on the Podcast Sports Network. Call the PSN listener hotline to add your comments to the show at 833-5000-PSN. That's 833-500-0776.
Follow the Bettor's Edge on Twitter using at PSN Bettor's Edge.
So before the break, we mentioned that we'll take both of the home favorites today in the championship games. The early game at 3:05 Eastern, the Chiefs giving 7. And then the late game at 6:40, the 49ers giving 7.5. And then we'll take the over in the AFC championship game, the Titans and the Chiefs at 53. Passing on the NFC total of 45. Going to skip the Packers 49ers 45. That number feels right where it needs to be, and not liking the play on either side of that. We mentioned in our trivia this week, it happens to be the birthday of this football player. from Oceanside, California, where he played in the Pac-12 and had 19 sacks in 1989, born on this day in 1969. As a pro, this was a first rounder entering after his junior season. First rounder in the 1990 NFL draft, drafted fifth overall, playing again on the West Coast, drafted in the West Coast. We'll get more into that trivia in a moment, but stick with that. It's applicable because this is Football Sunday and it happens to be this player's birthday. But let's go into our other bets. So we have a weekly feature here on the Bettor's Edge called Long Shot Lucy. It's brought to us by Bet Illinois. Different than Illinois Wagering, Bet Illinois. And the Long Shot Lucy that I like for this week is the 49ers to win by 7 to 12 points exactly. So not just to win, not just to fit in there at that 7.5 points. They have to win by exactly 7 to 12. So if it's a blowout the 49ers way and they win by more than 12, then this is out of the money. But if you think about that as being the sweet spot, 7 to 12 points, just barely covering, that's a plus 460 bet. So certainly qualifies as our long shot Lucy for the week. And I really like that idea, in part for a few different reasons, both influenced by the Packers and the 49ers. That is to say that I think that the Packers can keep it low scoring with their defense, and that the 49ers can keep it low scoring with their defense, keeping the game from being a blowout in either direction. Yet the 49ers good enough to hit that number. So I don't think they're going to win by more than 12, and I think they'll get there. So I really like that 7 to 12 point spread. But when you're making bets that are plus 460, odds, of course, are not in your favor. So that adds a lot of volatility to your betting slate for the weekend. But let's add that to our total. So now we've got four of our bets for the weekend, each at $100 of our $1,000 stake. We've got, $600 left to bet. So let's get into that list of interesting prop bets that are available to us here on this NFL championship weekend. We tend to look at FanDuel for the list of prop bets. They've always got just a great selection of prop bets available. And their sports book in the Northeast is one of the highest volume sports books of the new age non-Nevada public betting sites. So jumping into those, there's some things that I like for the AFC championship game, again at 205. One is that Travis Kelce scores a touchdown. So that's a minus 115 bet. It's not all that often that you'll see a minus line for an individual player to get a touchdown. But he's such a dominant player and significant part of the Chiefs offense that I fully expect to put up a great deal of points today. So Travis Kelce at minus 115, we're going to put 100 on that. So we're sort of halfway through building our weekend betting slate. Through FanDuel's prop bets, you can pick lots of different players. You can pick who's going to score a touchdown first. So just to clarify, this isn't that Travis Kelce scores first. It's just that he does score a touchdown during the AFC championship game. So that one, at minus 115, we're not out on much of a limb there. Going a little bit farther out on a limb, but within that realm of not being a long shot Lucy, there's a prop bet available for Patrick Mahomes to throw for 3 touchdowns and 300 yards. 3 TDs and 300 yards. He almost did that in the second quarter last week. So that's a plus 195 prop bet. I like that a lot as you envision how this game is going to play out. We don't see a lot of running touchdowns for the Chiefs today. So Patrick Mahomes, 3 passing touchdowns and 300 yards, a plus 195 wager. And then you can decouple that over-under of 53 and look at the individual teams, treating that as a prop bet. So the Chiefs over 30.5 is a plus 100. It's basically an even money bet. I like that a lot. And if I wasn't an advocate of consistent betting units, that's the one that I would sort of back up the truck on, the Chiefs over 30.5. So I like that a lot, but we're going to stick with our consistent allocation and say that at this point in time, we've got the Chiefs minus 7, the 49ers minus 7.5, the over in the Chiefs-Titans game of 53, Kelce to score a touchdown at minus 115, Patrick Mahomes with 3 TDs and 300 yards at plus 195, and now the Chiefs over 30.5 by themselves, an even money bet. I like that a lot. So we're working our way towards our weekend allocation of our $1,000. Still in the prop bets, but moving to the later game, There's a prop bet that says the 49ers are going to have more sacks than the Packers. Now, there are the two Smiths, and they do a great job, and they combined for four sacks last week against the Seahawks. But I love the idea of the 49ers having more sacks than the Packers. You got to pay a hefty price. It's minus 145, but we're going to allocate a unit to that prop bet, and that allows us to root on every play, so I like that. I'd already mentioned the prop, the long shot Lucy of the 49ers to win by exactly 7-12. One more prop bet, and I'm trying to decide between this one or that one. The first of which is Jimmy Garoppolo throws two touchdowns and the 49ers win. That's plus 108. Or for both quarterbacks in that game to throw two or more touchdowns. You think Rodgers is going to throw for two? You know, they can run the ball near the goal line. I'm going to go with Jimmy Garoppolo throwing two plus touchdowns and the 49ers win at plus 108 over both quarterbacks throw two touchdowns in that game, both Garoppolo and Rodgers, which is plus 270. So we're sticking with Jimmy G throwing two touchdowns and the 49ers win. We're $900 into our 1,000. After the break, we'll cover that second screen wager and finish up our trivia. But to shed a little bit more light on our trivia, that player that we're talking about, born in 1969, drafted in 1990, 19 sacks in 1989, playing for a Pac-12 team. His rookie season was 1990, 85 tackles. But beginning in 1991, the first of his 12 seasons with 90 or more tackles was the Defensive Player of the Year in the NFL, the first of his 12 Pro Bowls, Defensive Player of the Year for the AFC, NFL Defensive MVP, Linebacker of the Year. So that's our first mention of specific defensive position. Player from the West Coast, born in 69, a linebacker, played on the West Coast, fifth pick overall, 12-time Pro Bowler, 12 times 90 or more tackles, actually played for 19 seasons. We'll reveal who our trivia answer is after the break. So we're almost there. Let's talk some NCAA hoops for your second screen wagering, and then we'll wrap up the show and everyone will be ready to place their bets here on The Bettor's Edge. We'll be right back.
The Bettor's Edge is brought to you by Flatiron Resources. Flatiron is a consulting firm specializing in Salesforce design and implementation for your business. Flatiron was even named by CIO Applications magazine as one of the top Salesforce providers of the year in the US and has performed projects in over 20 countries. Whether your business is large or small, Flatiron works with clients to improve business performance. Flatiron Resources, helping business thrive. To learn more, visit www.flatironresources.com.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen.
For late nights writing English papers.
For your teen's music taste.
For dinners, where they talk more on their phone than with you.
For the first time, they call you mom.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen, and you can't imagine the reward.
To learn more about adopting a teen, visit AdoptUSKids.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. One in six kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is The Bettor's Edge on PSN.
You can find The Bettor's Edge and other PSN podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you find podcasts.
And now, back to The Bettor's Edge on the Podcast Sports Network.
Welcome back to The Bettor's Edge on the Podcast Sports Network. Again, I'm Scott Sanders. Get in touch with the show on Twitter, at PSN Bettor's Edge. We'll wrap up today's show with our trivia answer and our second screen wagering, NCAA basketball wagering. It's not a big slate on this NFL-dominated Sunday, but we're going to analyze two games, Boston College at Wake Forest, followed by Cal at the UCLA Bruins, on the anniversary of the day that the Bruins' 88-game winning streak was snapped. So the first game at 6 o'clock Eastern, Boston College visits Wake Forest. Wake is a 5-point favorite. The total's 138.5. Neither of these teams have metrics that strongly support a case for them. I've seen sort of BPI-type projections that have Wake should be a 10-point favorite in this game. Boston College has really struggled to score on the road. So we're going to go with Wake Forest, giving the 5 points. Boston College is an underdog against the spread is 3-5. As a road underdog, they're 2-3. But some of their metrics in terms of number of consistent games after a loss by 10 or more, for instance, they're 2-4 against the spread. After scoring 55 or less, they're 1-3 against the spread. After scoring 60 points or less, they're 1-5 against the spread. A whole bunch of negative data pointing at the Eagles today make me happy to allocate one of our betting resources, one of our units, towards Wake Forest. When they failed to cover in the prior game, Wake is 4-4, so they've got a good sort of bounce back metrics. Boston College in road games, just 59 points a game. Wake Forest in home games, 77 points a game. You can make a compelling case for Wake Forest today, giving the 5 to Boston College. So we're going to go with that one as our second screen wager. That'll be going on during the end of the AFC Championship game, leading into the NFC Championship game. So it can draw your attention in between games. Then the second game, Cal visits UCLA. And in this game, UCLA is giving 8.5 points. But Cal's been outscored by 5 points a game this year. They're only 6-11 against the spread. UCLA at home, this game analytically, the number's a good match. Whereas the Wake analytically, you know, sort of computer modeled as a 10-point favorite when the line's actually 5. This one, UCLA is an 8.5-point favorite, and the computer models have UCLA as an 8-point favorite. So that's a close line. Cal has some bad metrics against the number after failing to cover in four of five of their last games. They're 2-7. After losing by 10 or more, they're 2-4 against the spread. After scoring 60 or less, they're 2-4 against the spread. Consecutive underdog games are 3-7 against the spread. UCLA, on the other hand, a little bit better. Playing at home, looking for a bounce-back game. Playing their third game as a favorite. Third or more games as a favorite, they're 4-4 against the spread. When playing against teams with a losing record, they're 3-2 against the spread. So there's enough there to make me want to sort of follow the metrics and go with UCLA. So for our last spot, looking for two of these second screen opportunities, we're going to cut our unit betting in half, and we're just going to put $50 each on Wake and UCLA. Just attention getting. Smaller bet, smaller outcome. Second screen type wagering, just to get a taste, stay in the game on college basketball. So summarizing where we're at in terms of our wagers, we've got Kansas City -7, the over of the Titans and the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, 53. Travis Kelce with a touchdown, that's a -115. Travis Mahomes with 3 TDs and 300 yards, +195. Kansas City itself, over 30.5. The 49ers -7.5. 49ers with more sacks than the Packers at -145. Our long shot Lucy, 49ers win by 7-12, +460. And then Jimmy Garoppolo throws for 2 touchdowns and the 49ers win, 2 or more touchdowns, and the 49ers win, that's +108. And then Wake giving 5 to Boston College and UCLA giving 8.5 to Cal. So that's our betting slate for the weekend. Junior Seau is our trivia, if you hadn't figured that out. Originally with the Chargers for 13 seasons, then with the Dolphins, then retired and went to New England. He was only retired for a handful of days. 4 more years with New England. He was there on their undefeated championship season, undefeated regular season when they lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl. And obviously things didn't end well post-NFL career for Junior Seau, but not to end on a downer. He had a fantastic career. Defensive Player of the Year, 12-time Pro Bowler. In answer to our trivia contest for the week, USC linebacker, Chargers retired number, Junior Seau. Good luck with your betting for this weekend. Thanks again for listening to the Bettor's Edge podcast here on the Podcast Sports Network. Follow us on Twitter at PSN Bettor's Edge or contact us. Let us know how your weekend wagering went. PSN listener hotline, 833-5000-PSN. Until next time, this is Scott Sanders. Thanks for listening to The Bettor's Edge.
You can find The Bettor's Edge and other PSN podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you find podcasts. Under the moonlight. thank you for listening to today's episode of The Bettor's Edge.